10:30 a.m. on 101.9 FM.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedenick.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the Ides of February, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Alksen, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, the Vancouver International Mountain Film Festival is coming to UBC. Three special events are planned for the Freddie Wood Theatre next week. These will be focused around trail running, skiing, and climbing. The trail running event features filmmaker Dean Leslie and his latest Lessons from the Edge, the story of two South Africans as they attempt to run Nepal's Great Himalayan Trail. And we'll have Dean on the phone in just a couple of minutes. And Changed Utterly. It's a new play from Vital Spark about the Irish Rebellion of 1916 and the young woman at the forefront. It opens at the Jericho Arts Centre next week, and we'll meet two of the actors today. Plus, we'll keep you up on the loop. We'll keep you in the loop on what's going on around town. We'll have our usual call board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local, independent theatre, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. So, how'd you like the snow, huh? Stop. I keep doing that. I don't put it on manual at the right time. Anyway, how'd you like the snow? Huh? It's still out there, man. And we're getting to that point now where we're getting above zero. So now we're going to be, you know, trudging through puddles of slush for the next week. Gotta love that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Living on the west coast of BC. All right, we're waiting for our call from South Africa. Once Dean calls, we will get him on the air and talk about this amazing film that is coming to Vancouver in next week. But until then, let's hear that song that started playing.
The river tells me I'm not alone. If I think that I'm drowning, I am wrong. Keep
That's Hollow Twin and The Valley. The Vancouver International Mountain Film Festival gets underway next weekend. And there's some special events going on here at UBC. There's three nights of films dedicated to three activities. One is on climbing, one is on skiing, and the one we're featuring right now is on trail running. They're showing a few films on the sport of trail running, and specifically Lessons from the Edge, which is about a couple of South African runners who push themselves to run Nepal's Great Himalayan Trail in the fastest known time, and the events that that surrounded around that. That film is the filmmaker Dean Leslie is also going to be appearing live at the event on the 26th, and he is on the phone with us right now. Hello, Dean.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. It's going well. Thanks very much for talking to us. You're talking to us from South Africa right now, which is your home. But you'll be and it's what time is it there? It's like 10 o'clock at night or something.
Yeah, 10 o'clock at night on a Friday.
So, well, thanks for thanks for taking your Friday night off to talk to us. Really appreciate it.
No, it's all good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the film itself first. Who are the principals? Ryan Sandus and Rhino Graysell.
Yeah, Ryan's a professional trail runner. He actually just lives about 20 minutes away from me here. Mm-hmm. So he runs 100 mile races predominantly, and I've actually known Ryan since I was around six years old.
Mm-hmm.
And Reno is a guy that Ryan met about 5 years ago. Also an adventurer, a mountaineer, but he's a full-time accountant. And they just started doing bigger projects like this together. And for this the Great Himalaya Trail attempt, they teamed up again. They did another one in 2013 across the Drakensberg Mountains in South Africa. Mm-hmm. They traversed the escarpment of the Southern African Plateau. And then, yeah, they're just a good team.
Yeah.
Ryan's a professional runner and Reno is a full-time accountant.
So let's talk about the Great Himalayan Trail, just in terms of scope and proportion in that. What's the elevation of the trail?
It varies. It goes up to over, I think it's the high points. Well, to give you a bit of background on the trail, the Great Himalaya Trail stretches across the entire Himalaya. So we really focused on the Nepal section of the Great Himalaya Trail. Otherwise, you'd be out there for months.
Wow.
And it's essentially a patchwork of trails. So a lot of those parts are local routes where people are using them to travel on foot to move produce and to connect their villages. So over the years, they've started connecting trails up. So when you say the Great Himalaya Trail, it's more an idea than a singular trail.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple routes you could take at all times. You know, every few miles, you will hit another little kind of turn off that trail going somewhere else. So there's no singular route, so there's a bunch of different kind of records that have happened on different sections of the Great Himalaya Trail. But it's more concept and idea of traversing the Himalaya.
Mm-hmm. And in the film, the runners travel a distance of nearly 1,500 kilometers.
Yeah, so around just under 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
And that's just so we cross Nepal west to east, and then the route that that Ryan and Reno chose kind of combined everything that the Himalaya could offer. So big remote mountains, big passes, and then also the foothills where you're running in, and you really, you know, it changes so dramatically where the style of people how they're living and how they're moving through those mountains. So they went through the lower foothills and the high peaks on different sections of the route.
What time of year did it happen?
We did it, I'm trying to think now when we were there. We were there in March. So in the Himalaya, you obviously have your shoulder seasons, which is the main climbing seasons, just the gap between heavy winter and the monsoons. Mm-hmm. So we ended up being in March, but there was a really late winter that happened. And we were going into areas that no one had crossed the passes since the previous summer. So that you know, right from the get-go, we felt like we were in maybe a little bit too deep, or deeper than we anticipated.
Yeah, and I understand the weather sort of dominated the plot of the film. What started out as being a chronicle of a run to beat a record time turned into a tale of endurance in extreme conditions.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, like a long run like that is it's always going to be. You know, it's always going to be a battle of attrition. But I think it's so easy to underestimate the any mountains, but specifically big mountains like out in the Himalaya. The weather changes so quickly, and you're routinely over 3,000 meters, mm-hmm. which I'm trying to think, 10,000 feet, which is like kind of your low points. And so, you know, a massive snowfall can turn a very ordinary trail into something that is a 50-50 call for 5 hours. Every step you take mm-hmm. is potentially life-threatening off an ordinary slip. So it's just, it's really easy to, well, with these kind of projects, you approach it with in terms of a filmmaker, I'm just going to make a film, and you don't really often think too much about the environments you're going into in terms of being life-threatening. And I think this project is a little bit different in terms of maybe like every 2 or 3 days over a period of 5 weeks, there were situations that the odds weren't that great in terms of everyday life.
So there were probably a few times when the question came up about whether it was worth it to continue.
Yeah, for sure. A lot. Rainer, before we even, just to film the start, we had to do a 100-mile walk in, like kind of a loop around to get to the Tibetan border to shoot Ryan and Reno starting the attempt. Mm-hmm. So that walk in became really sketchy, and there was ice on the trail, which the guides hadn't expected. So we were crossing sections of ice without crampons or ice axes. I think by the time we got down to the Tibetan border, everyone's nerves were frayed and we hadn't even started yet. And then they kind of just ran off and they had to cross those ice sections again in the darkness because they started at 4 a.m. Then the next morning. And then, so when we were walking back up the pass to kind of backtrack, you know, I was walking up that trail just kind of glancing just to see if I could see like a color of the top in the ravine below in case one of them had fallen or both of them. Mm-hmm. It was that kind of stuff, which wasn't, it's not an ideal way to start a project.
No. Was it just the three of you on the trail?
There was four of us. Uh-huh. We had a guide with us the whole time, which is crucial to have that local knowledge. And then occasionally we would get in porters to help us because we were editing out in the wild as well, so we were carrying a lot of gear with us. But yeah, two of us following and two guys running, so it's really small.
Yeah. So you're going to be in Vancouver to present this film, and also you're doing a talk and taking some questions?
I am, yeah. I'm hosting a film adventure film workshop on mm-hmm. that Sunday, and I have another film in the festival with a Colorado athlete, Joe Grant. And then for this film, I'll be giving a talk and presenting the film on the trail running night.
Well, it's fascinating, and I'm sure our listeners have a lot more questions that they can speak to you personally about. It's Tuesday, February 26th. It's here on campus at the Freddie Wood Theater. Doors open at 6:30. The event starts at 7:30. There are, I believe, three films going to be shown that night, three or four, I think, including Lessons from the Edge, your film. And just if people want to find out more, they can go to the website vimff.org and just look up the UBC Trail Running Night. Dean Leslie, thank you so very much for taking some time out of your Friday night to talk to us, and look forward to seeing you when you're in Vancouver.
No, absolute pleasure. I'm looking forward to experiencing Vancouver.
Great. Well, we've got a few mountain trails that you can try out here as well.
Sweet. And the weather's good, or?
We just had a big dump of snow, but hopefully things will clear up by the time you get here.
Okay. I'm not coming from Africa. I'm not too efficient on skis. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that hard
cool.
to pick up.
Cool.
All right. Good. Thanks for talking, Dean.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye-bye. There you go. That's Nash Rambler. That's who that is, yeah. All right, in the studio right now, we've got a couple of actors. Oh, my goodness. Please identify yourselves.
I'm Naomi Wong.
I got to turn your mics on first.
Oh, sure.
There we go.
That would help. I'm Naomi Wong. And I'm Jeremy O'Driscoll.
And you guys are from the Vital Start production of Changed Utterly, which opens up at the Jericho Arts Center next week. It's another one of Joan Bryan's theater verite, theater verbatim productions, which we'll talk about as we go along. But it's the subject matter is really quite interesting because it takes place in Ireland in 1916 during the time of the rebellion. And Naomi, you're playing the lead character. She sounds like quite an interesting person. Tell me about her.
Constance Markovitch was definitely an interesting person.
Yeah.
She's actually the play from the dates that I've looked up and everything. It takes place from like I think it's 1908 to 1918.
Both
so it's about a 10-year span, and she's like 40 years old at the start of the play. So she did all this stuff when people consider quote-unquote past it, but we all know that's not true, but people consider it that way.
And especially a female.
Exactly, people quite often assume that women's lives are over when they hit 25, but that's just obviously not true. Mm-hmm. She completely restarted her life.
She was Irish herself, is that right?
She's Anglo-Irish, which means she was, basically she was descendant from English people who were lording over the Irish people. That's my understanding of it.
She married a Polish aristocrat.
Yes, a Count Markovitch, who a lot of people actually they said he was a self-appointed count, and he decided he was a count. And then some people disagreed with this, and then it was eventually determined that he was allowed to call himself aristocracy.
Well, he's done it long enough, No one's objected, so squatters. He had squatters' rights to the county.
They met in art school in Paris.
Oh wow!
So they were both artistic people, and. Yeah, she'd acted, and I think with the marriage to him, she inherited a stepson, and then they had a daughter, who they did not raise. Her parents raised her. They were quite estranged the entire time that Constance remained alive. So,
Now, was she always politically active?
No, not especially. She was. I know she was caring towards the plight of the poor, and she was involved in feeding the poor and helping with that sort of thing, but she didn't really get very politically active until sort of after that. She was mainly involved with the suffragette movement until about 1908, when she became involved with Irish politics.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jeremy, you're playing a reporter, is that right?
I'm playing a number of characters. Okay. The reporter is one of which, yes. I also play the poet W.B. Yeats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So tell me a little bit about sort of the historical setting that this play is based in. What's going on in Ireland at the time?
Right, yeah, it was just terrible for the Irish people, you know? One of the characters, Delia, in it, she addresses the crowds, and she calls them slaves, which a lot of them were at the time, you know? And there was an awful call for this rebellion to happen. So it needed to happen, and thankfully it did happen, you know?
Yeah. So what actually did happen? Did it become an armed revolt?
Yes, yeah, there was... a lot of activity kind of happening underground. A lot of volunteer groups were set up, or the Irish Volunteers were set up. The Irish Republican Brotherhood had been set up for a while, but all these different groups were being set up because they knew something had to happen.
Yeah, they were aiming towards a Irish independence, basically separating from the United Kingdom.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that. Further down the line, that would actually divide Ireland as well. After the revolution, and after Ireland actually got the Republic, got its independence, then that would actually go on to further divide Ireland and cause a civil war between the two opposing sides in Ireland themselves.
Yeah,
you know.
I know, and we've talked about Ireland for decades, and it's been the troubles have been there for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a rabbit hole you can get down quite easily, and
certainly, yeah. I remember growing up, I can remember just about I have vague memories of the Good Friday Agreement, which put an end to all the troubles, more or less.
Yeah.
And I didn't really comprehend the gravity of that at the time, because I was quite young.
Yeah.
You know, and now looking back, I remember I was quite fortunate to grow up in an Ireland that I didn't see that much trouble, but generations before me saw all this.
I remember being in London in 1975, and it was a very real threat. You know, there were car bombs going off rather infrequently, and assassinations, and you know, it was the 70s in Britain was a very violent time.
That was the height of the troubles.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely tumultuous times.
So let's take it back to 1916, and so we have this political situation, and we have a privileged woman who finds herself kind of in the middle of it. How does Constance get involved?
Well, I'm not sure if she finds herself there as so much as forces herself into it.
Okay.
That's my understanding of it. She sort of made sure she was there at every point.
Mm-hmm.
She just really decided to get hands-on, and that she would do everything in her power to make it happen, and got her finger in as many pies as she possibly could.
And she rises in the ranks. According to the press release, she was third in command of the military.
Yes, of the Irish Citizen Army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right behind, there was James Connolly, then there was Mallon,
and then there was
Constance Markovitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, in that specific section.
Yes, in that group, there was different things as well.
Yeah, there's so many different people working. So that specific faction, she was third in command,
Now, I mentioned at the top that this is done in the Vital Sparks kind of patented style called theater verbatim, which I worked on the Suffragette play, which was taken from diary entries, letters, newspaper accounts, that kind of thing. Is that sort of the same kind of material that this play is based from?
Absolutely. There's plenty of poems, plenty of songs, lots of speeches.
Yeah.
Some dances.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't have an Irish play without dance.
Exactly. You know, you can't have a full play that's just complete doom and gloom, because otherwise,
no.
You have to have some sort of I've forgotten the word.
Revelry.
Variety.
Yeah, variety is good. Variety is a good word.
And that's exactly what we have. We've got singing. We've got dancing. There's a fully fledged battle in the middle of it. Something for all the family.
Yeah. let's talk a little bit about. I mean, we've got a pretty good idea of what kind of character Constance was. And you said you play several characters.
Mm-hmm.
So how is, you know, I mean, as an actor, what is that experience like for you to take on several roles in one play?
It is. I don't think it's any more difficult or any less difficult than taking on one character. You're still stepping in. You still have to step into their shoes and imagine the story from their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, with the help of like costume changes and different voices, different accents, things like that, you can create the illusion that you might even be a different person throughout the thing as well.
Now you're taking on one actual historical figure, W.B. Yeats.
Mm-hmm.
And how much did you do a lot of research into his life and what he was like?
Not a huge amount of research for this. I was familiar with Yeats beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeats was he was very political, but he was very political with his poems.
Yeah,
and he along with another lady. Georgina Gregory, I think was her name.
Yeah.
They created the Irish a cultural revolution.
Yeah.
So at the time, back 100 years ago or so, the Irish language was dying on its feet, mm-hmm. and the English were doing that. They were literally trying to stamp it out.
Yeah, and that's the English influence around the world.
It even
happened here with the First Nations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so Yeats was a huge figure, like reviving that,
mm-hmm.
reviving the old poems, the old songs, the language, and setting up the Abbey Theatre as well with Lady Gregory as well. So his feet were on the ground, but he didn't pick up a rifle by any means, but he was certainly a pivotal character in turning Ireland back on its feet.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, sort of rekindling sort of a nationalist pride. And,
yes, yeah. Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I want to ask one last question, and that's about the title "Changed Utterly." Now that it intrigues me because it's sort of about the political aspect of what's going on, but we're also talking about a central character of Constance. Now, does she go through a big change throughout the play?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah?
Definitely. I think every person who is in the play goes through a huge change, mm-hmm. because it's impossible not to when you're in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
And even if you think you're prepared going into something, it's going to change you. Because mm-hmm. you can never be fully prepared for any specific situation, especially something that of that magnitude. Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. did she like see the world differently at the beginning than she does at the end, or like what kind of change does specifically what does she go through?
Specifically, she definitely comes through it more like determined and strong.
Yeah.
I think she's not that she's under any sort of illusion that's going to be easy at the start.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it does take its toll, but then she finds a way to find her way through it.
Yeah.
It's hard to mm-hmm. fully verbalize
It's intriguing. It sounds like it's a good night of theater too. You know, I mean, it's like you learn something and you come out feeling fulfilled.
Yeah, definitely. It's either.
But you'll also feel entertained. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's either the times are going to change you or you're going to change the times.
Yeah, yeah.
And Markovitch definitely changed the times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was a pivotal role in changing that.
All right, great. So you open next week, next Friday at the Jericho Arts Center. Run until the 16th of March. And you can find out more by going to vitalsparktheater.com and tickets at Brown Paper. And Naomi Wong and Jeremy O'Driscoll, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And break a leg.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca. Check test. Check test 1, 2, 3. No dead air. Keeping the airways alive for all to hear. Jazz fusion, post-rock, experimental electronic. Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Check out the Facebook page for more info at facebook.com/CITR No Dead Air.
Dance Horizons provides affordable classes and encourages students to get involved with the community to develop as dancers.
Our classes are open to all skill levels, with styles ranging from hip-hop to ballet, and are taught by professional instructors.
We're running some exciting events in the next week.
Our dancers will be visiting Harbor Dance Center and are putting on a show on campus on December 3rd. If you want to see us dance to this song, visit UBC Dance Horizons on YouTube.
I like Star Trek.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
I love The Lord of the Rings.
Great.
Yeah. I'm into obscure 1950s atomic monster movies.
Okay. Sure.
I really enjoyed the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles.
We can work with that. Here at the UBC Sci-Fi and Fantasy Society, we accept everyone. We have weekly movies, game nights, and the largest non-academic library at UBC. Come by our club room, 3206D in the Nest. It's a great place to eat lunch, hang out,
and procrastinate.
Check out our Facebook group, UBC Sci-Fi and Fantasy Society, to find out what's going on.
Do you recognize the song playing in the background? Plays every hour on the hour as part of our flagship station ID. If you do recognize this song, chances are less than 1 in 12 that you have donated to CITR. That means 11 out of 12 of our regular listeners are getting our content for free. So naturally, we called local businesses to see if we could get that kind of a deal. Here's how things went when we called Duffin's Donuts.
Hello, Duffin's Donuts.
Hi, I was wondering if I can get 12 pupusas, but just pay for one of them.
Like, do we owe you?
Owe you cinnamon rolls?
No, you don't owe me. I was just seeing if, like, that was a deal I could make.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe in 20 years?
In 20 years?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Okay. I was hoping for it now, years. Though, but...
No, 20 years later.
20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll try in 20 years.
You can show your support right now on your mobile device or computer by heading to citr.ca/donate or in person and over the phone during our annual fundraising week, February 28th to March 7th. Donate to keep CITR weird.
Need to talk? AMS Speakeasy offers free, one-on-one, confidential, drop-in peer support sessions with trained volunteers. Our goal is to lend a listening ear and empower you to continue to strive towards wellness. Our services are available Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. during exam season. Support sessions can be requested at our desk on the main floor of the Nest or by ringing the doorbell outside our private space in room 3121. Learn more by visiting the AMS Speakeasy website. No issue is too big or too small. We're here to listen.
Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. To start off, the Vancouver Fringe Festival has opened up its applications for BYOV Productions. The main stage lottery has passed, but you can still be part of the Fringe with BYOV. Bring your own venue. There are 6 venues that work with the Fringe on a regular basis, are negotiating rental costs for artists and to ensure the festival has the capacity to include them. Those are the Arts Umbrella, Carousel Theater on Granville Island, Fire Hall Arts Center in downtown Eastside, and the Havana Theater on Commercial Drive, plus 2 new venues for 2019, Wet Lab on Pandora north of Hastings Street, and the Powell Studio Theater in Cole Harbor. The BYOV applicants must apply directly to the venues, because they each have their own criteria and process for accepting shows. But once an artist has been accepted by the venue, then they can apply to the Fringe as a BYOV artist. The site-specific and dramatic works categories will be open up later this month. But in the meantime, you can get involved by contacting one of those venues and go and starting out the process of getting in on the Fringe as a BYOV. Also, if you're a playwright or a director who identifies as a woman or genderqueer on the femme spectrum or as non-binary, there's still time to apply for Advanced Theater New Works by Diverse Women. Advanced Theater submissions are due on the 15th, which is today. Check out Vancouver Fringe Festival website for more information on all that stuff. If you want to do a show at the Jericho Arts Center, they're accepting applications for their October 2019 to August 2020 season. So if you're interested in mounting what's called a major production, which is anything of 6 performances or more, you can submit your initial application by March 24th. You can do that on their website, jerichoartcenter.com. And then once you've gone through the initial process, then your detailed submission will be submitted to the jury for final selection. But just go to jerichoartcenter.com to find out more and how to do all that. And Joan Bryans, who we talked about before, is also directing a play at the Metro Theater at the foot of Granville Street. It's called Persuasion by Jane Austen. And she is searching for an actor to play Admiral Croft. This is somebody who is between 40 and 60 years old. The character is warm, unaffected, and accomplished. And the actor might also be required to play in a second character, Captain Harville. So you can go to metrotheater.com and look up the sides for Admiral Croft on their webpage. And they're already at rehearsal, so contact Joan at j.bryans, B-R-Y-A-N-S, at telus.net if you're interested in playing the part of Admiral Croft. And today is the submission deadline for the recovery show. Play It Forward is looking for a stage manager for this show that's going to be happening in mid-May. So they need someone with 2 or 3 years of stage management experience, some familiarity with recovery, and some strong communication skills, who is also a strong, supportive team player who is positive, proactive, and personable. Spotlight on mentalhealth.com is the website to find out more about this. And once you're on the site, look for the Consumer Initiative Fund, and that will tell you about the recovery show. The 2019 Act Safe Event Safety Conference, which is the only conference in the Pacific Northwest focusing on sharing knowledge about making performing arts and live events safe for workers and audiences alike. It's happening in March at the Delta Hotels by Marriott in Burnaby. And it's over 2 days. You can learn from experts in their fields for nearly 40 workshops, interactive demonstrations, roundtable sessions, and panel discussions. It's a great opportunity to network and share knowledge with others involved in the production of live events and keeping them safe. If you want to learn more, you can go to actsafeconference.ca. The Arts Club Theatre Company Actors Intensive Workshop, which is a highly recommended and recognized workshop, highly attended, very much in demand, get on board now, all that kind of stuff. It happens in April, but the deadline for registration is next week on Wednesday, the 21st. Go to artsclub.com to find out more information on the Arts Club Actors Intensive Workshop. And one more thing from the Arts Club, they're accepting applications for grants from the Bill Millard Artist Fund. This is a new fund that was started by outgoing artistic director Bill Millard. There's $35,000 available for theater artists who are interested in pursuing professional development activities. You can also go to the Arts Club theater.com, artsclub.com, pardon me, to find out more details on the Bill Millard Artist Fund. Theater in the Country, Little Women the Musical. The auditions for that are happening on the 17th and 18th in Langley. This is a production that's going to be up in June at Theater in the Country in Langley. If you want more information about that, you can go to their website, theaterinthecountry.com. Spec Theater is getting ready for a Fringe tour. They're doing dates in Regina, Charlottetown, and Edmonton. My goodness. You're going from Regina in July to PEI in August, and then Edmonton later in August as well. So a bit of a travel going on, but it looks like a really interesting play. Here's the synopsis. Did you know that without goats, the coffee bean may never have been discovered? Can you tell the difference between three types of beer from a blind smell test? Are you able to recognize if the vinyl you hear is coming from your neighbor's apartment? Is a 78, a 45, or a 33? Do you use a spyglass instead of binoculars in your travel? Well, Barry can, and Barry does. Artisanal Intelligence Incorporated is proud to announce the next wave in AI customer service. Barry, a perfect fit for your too-cool-for-school business needs. They're looking for two actors for this one, one to play Barry and one to play Jane. They will accept actors of any ethnicity, gender, size, and ability. You need to be fluent in English, though, and have some dancing or movement experience for both roles. Go to Spec Theater, SPECTHEATRE, at gmail.com to find out more about that. The auditions are happening at early March for Artisanal Intelligence. Beach House Theater, Crescent Beach, doing two plays, Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare, and Love You Forever and More Munch, which is adapted by Stephen Coella and Sue Miner. This is happening at the Beach House Theater tent on Crescent Beach in August. The auditions are in March. And you can send your headshot and resume to beachhouseauditions@gmail.com to schedule your audition. And go to beachhousetheater.org to find out more information. Another Shakespeare show, Bard in the Valley, is doing Midsummer Night's Dream in June. Their auditions are in March at the Douglas Park Rec Center in Langley. And if you want to find out more about that, you can go to bardinthevalley.com auditions. And finally, our friends the Geekenders are doing Alice in Glitterland, a brand new production all about Alice in Wonderland. They're looking for professional level dancers and movers who act. There are two non-dance roles for extremely strong improvisers. They welcome submissions from performers working at a professional level with disabilities or mobility limitations. This is a new work, and choreography will be designed to emphasize the abilities and strengths of the cast. Casting is gender and sexuality blind, regardless of character pronouns, and the exception, with the exception of the Mad Hatter, whose story is gender-specific. Details are on their Facebook page, so just go look up Geekenders on Facebook and submit your headshot and resume to them at geekenders@gmail.com. If you want details on these or other audition notices, you can go to vancouveractorsguide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you like read on the air, you can share it at the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email us at daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com. All right, we got time for one more tune. Here's the Jen Hodge All-Stars.
Drinking honey, we can do it sitting or standing. Upside down or right side up with any old world drinking companion. Hey, let's drink a beer. Hey, let's drink a beer.
comes to drinking, honey, we can't do it sitting or standing.
You know it. Upside down or right side up, so grab yourself a drink and companion. Now let's get out of here. You push the gas and I'll steer. We're coming down from Vancouver town, so hey, let's drink a beer.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we are here for you. Send your details to us at DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. On Twitter and Instagram, we're at CITR Dave Radio. If you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, you can check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. And remember to subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes. Or is it Apple Music? I don't know. Or Apple Podcasts. Ah, oh, you kids and your changing things. Stick around. Audrey's up next with Too Dreamy, followed by Bepi Crespin Presents at 2 o'clock and Nardwuar the Human Serviette at 3:30. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. And don't forget, Fun Drive coming up in a couple of weeks. Keep your nickels ready and donate to CITR. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye-bye. So we ended a couple of minutes early, so we're going to squeeze in one more tune. This is Ardent Tribe. They're going to be playing tomorrow night at the Backstage Lounge on Granville Island. They are the number one world music and soul band in Western Canada, and they're going to have a night of classic soul and world beat music at the Backstage Lounge tomorrow night.
all around me. All this pressure, you know how it feels. Walking down the same road every day, people around me, but I'm so lonely. Trapped in my mind, nothing's alright. I close my eyes, trying to flow with my heart, and I feel something inside. Something is calling, and it feels right. Alone, there's just no doubt. What is this feeling?